God. Oh, man, I am ready to preach. This is just New Year's Eve, isn't it? It's just New Year's Eve. How many of you are young enough that you're still planning on staying up until it's New Year? Crazy people. I'm going to try, and then I'm going to wake up after it's already New Year's and be like, hey, it's New Year's. And I think that's just the way it is. And it happens every year. I think I'm going to stay up, and then I don't. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about 2018, and there's a lot that I have that I think the Lord is stirring in my heart, even for this New Year's Eve service. Turn with me to Proverbs 29:18. And as we turn there, I just want you to be thinking about this last year and all that we have seen and all that we've experienced, all that we've gone through. And then as we turn this corner and we look to 2018, what it is that we expect to see this next year. Proverbs 29:18 says this. It says, without prophetic vision, people run wild. Without prophetic vision, people run wild. But blessed are those who follow God's teaching. Without a vision, people perish, don't they? Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. What a powerful, powerful verse. You might have heard that many times in church circles because it's a popular vision verse. It's popular especially with preachers who want to do like Vision Sunday or Leadership Weekend or whatever, and they talk about the vision of the church. But you know what? That's really not applicable to that. It's beyond it. It really is so much more. It's talking about revelation, what God has revealed through his scripture for your life. And then when it says it casts off restraint, or you see so many different translations, you know, like run wild, or when others, people perish. It's not really death that it's talking about. What it means is it means that they lack a leading voice to follow. So if people don't have the revealed word of God in their lives, they will lack the leading of God's voice in their life. And because of that, you can translate it in many ways. You're going to run wild. You won't have restraint in your life, or you may perish, or you'll just, you know, just be destroyed because of other things. In essence, you'll just live in perplexity. You'll live in confusion. You really will. Any of you have ever been confused? Has 2017 been a year where you've experienced confusion? What do I do? I don't know what God wants me to do. Maybe I need to know. I don't know what would be done in this right thing. I got two things I don't know. Have you ever been confused? Have you ever had choices? Have you just ever been bewildered? I don't know why, whatever. I don't know why this happens or that happens. I don't understand. There's a lot that confuses us. And do you know what? That's part of God's prophecy about end times. There is going to be confusion. Luke 21:25 says this, there's going to be a sign in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, confusion. Do we see that? I do. I heard this story one time. Back in 1934 in Detroit, St. Louis Cardinals, a baseball team, the only baseball team that I've ever really cared about because we went to college in St. Louis and I used to grow up and I got autographs from, you know, different ones like Ozzie Smith. Anybody remember who Ozzie Smith is? That's right. Ozzie Smith. Willie McGee. Anybody remember Willie McGee? I love Willie McGee. I love it. And I got to see all these people and get their autographs and stuff and go and see baseball players who were awesome, play the game. And look at that. I was there when well, this is before all the steroid stuff. All of the home run chase that had, you know, Sosa and Mark McGwire and all that kind of stuff. And they were just doing crazy stuff like that. And I just look at that and I loved it. But back in 1934, the St. Louis Cardinals were heading to Detroit for the World Series. But they were astounded when they got off the train because they were greeted by scores of policemen lined up in attention, guarding them in some very ceremonial fashion. They couldn't understand why they were treated with such respect. It was overwhelming to them. They looked at it and they thought, man, we must have something, you know? But later on, the truth was revealed. What had happened was right at that very same time, there was a papal delegation that was supposed to arrive. A group of cardinals were supposed to arrive for a conference, and so the police chief said, I want you to go guard the cardinals. And the policemen only knew of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. They weren't religious guys. And so they were like, all right, that's great. That was the only group of Cardinals they knew were coming to town. So they showed up and they guarded the, you know, the baseball team. And I look at that and I think, now that's a good confusion. Not just that, but maybe you've experienced confusion like this, and I love this. I wish we could just celebrate this kind of confusion. There was the City National Bank of Binghamton, New York, and they sent flowers to just congratulate another bank in town for opening up a new location. The problem was is that the delivery guy got their orders mixed up, and so they got this bouquet of flowers, and it said, deepest sympathies. And they were like, well, man, that stinks. And later on, they got a call a few days later from the florist, and the delivery guy said, I just really have to apologize because it was my fault that I mixed up the flowers and everything, and I'm so, so sorry. And they said, hey, it's not that bad. He goes, no, you don't understand. It was really bad because I delivered your flowers to a funeral, and with your card, which said, congratulations on your new location. What a season of confusion. And I look at that and I think, I bet you his boss was so mad and was like, that's it, you're fired. You know, and so, I think that's common. When anything gets complicated and it gets all too confusing, we just, leaders stand up and they're going, we're going to lead. So maybe what we should do is we should legislate some, you know, clarity in this world. But this is what I heard. There's a retired general who served faithfully as the Army Chief of Staff in Washington, D.C. And this is what he says. He says, at one point, I saw this report. A rating of an officer came across my desk, and this is all that the rating said on it. This officer is severely confused often whenever he receives conflicting orders. And so General Taylor kind of smiled, I believe, as he just simply wrote, well, this man is obviously not suited for duty here in Washington. And I look at it and I think, yes, because even if we hope for legislation to clear things up in our life, it is never, ever going to happen because they're just as confused as anyone else, if not more. I look at that and I think, that's sad. If you don't know, I read of one more confusing rule, and it was in Boston, and this one is pretty fun. In Boston, they made a simple rule of thumb to clear up city parking overnight. Here is the exact quote of the rule. On even-numbered dates, park on the odd-numbered side of the street. On odd-numbered dates, park on the even-numbered side of the street. If you park after midnight, that rule is to be reversed. I'm already scratching. Wherever parking is not allowed on one side of the street, you are to park on the side opposite of the no parking anytime sign. I look at that and I think, you know what? At every level, life is confusing. Whether it's in society or just in a family of four daughters and a wife. Life is confusing. It's definitely confusing at times in church. Do I stand up? Do I sit down? Do we talk? Do we dance? What do we do now? What's appropriate? Sometimes it's confusing. Do we pray about this? Do we not pray about this? All of it is confusing at times. But when I read Proverbs 29:18, and it says, without prophetic vision, people will run wild and cast off restraint. I'm stricken with this idea that you and I have to see what God sees. I don't care what goes on in life. I don't care what has happened in this last year. Moving forward, the most important thing for you and I is not to hear what even I'm saying today. You have to, for yourself, hear what God says to you. I don't care what anybody else in your world does, but you better know what God says to you. You better see what God wants you to see this year. If you don't see that, then you have a bad 2018 ahead of you. Because if you don't see what God is revealing in your life, all that should be expected is pain and agony. What God wants for you is awesome stuff. If you can't see it, though, what kind of situation would you be in? You'd be confused at the very least. And at the very worst, you're going down a bad, bad path. Like the guy in San Francisco who disobeyed all the signs that said stay on path, and he's jogging right outside of the city of San Francisco in one of the beautiful parks, and instead he thought he was going to cut through into another part of the path, and when he cut through the bushes, he stepped off and it was a 1,500 foot drop right there at a cliff, right at the ocean. He perished. Why? He just didn't obey the signs. He thought he knew better. He wasn't listening. He couldn't see what obviously the people who set up the park and made the paths could see. They saw danger. He couldn't see it. What do you and I see? I want you to turn with me to a story in Scripture, because God has this awesome ability to reveal things, doesn't he? He reveals things. In Hosea 12:10, it talks about how God used prophets to act out parables in front of the people, to reveal his thoughts to a nation that was really needing something more than just words. Not just that, but in Habakkuk 2:2, it talks about how God reveals. And in our time, we see God revealing, just like how Moses saw God reveal himself in the form of a burning bush and in an audible voice, just like how God revealed his will to all of the people of Israel through the Ten Commandments. That's the revealed will of God. I look at that and I think that's powerful. And it's just like how God revealed patterns of worship to Moses and to his people. And then how in Jesus' life, as he was there being baptized by John the Baptist, do you know in that moment God revealed who Jesus really was? It was that moment, after 30-something years, that God actually pulled back the curtain and said, this man Jesus really is the Son of God. He's my son, and I'm very pleased in him. And that's when John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, so to speak, looked at him and saw for the first time without any doubt, this is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah. He's the one that I saw the dove, the Holy Spirit, fall and ascend right on his head. He is the one that the heavens opened up and God spoke. This is God. God reveals. And you know what? God is wanting to reveal his heart to you and to me. And so today, we need to see what John 16:13 says. I'm going to read this to you real quick. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. He will guide you. I want you to put your hand on your chest. The Holy Spirit will guide you. I want you to think about that. You. I want you to realize that your heart, your emotions, your mind, everything about you can easily be deceived and confused. But you, if you trust in the Lord, this 2018, the Holy Spirit will lead you. You don't have to be afraid of making a wrong choice. You don't have to be afraid of doing something stupid that will hurt your family and all these other things. You don't have to be afraid of that. Why? Because you can have confidence that God will lead you. You can do something this year you never imagined yourself doing. Why? Your hand is still here on your chest. Because you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, you will do the impossible. So now let's turn to a section of Scripture, Joshua chapter 5. This is one of the most profound sections of Scripture, and I just love it when it comes to what we're talking about today. It is a great illustration of someone seeing what God wants him to see so that he can do what no one has ever done before. Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 13. At this point in Joshua's life, Moses is dead and gone. The past is the past. He is now the leader. It's a brand new day. He's stepping into the promised land. The whole year has gone by. It's a brand new start for him. It's a fresh start. This is like what Philippians would say, the letter to the Philippian church. Forgetting what lies behind and press on towards what lies ahead. You ain't achieved it yet, so let's keep running like you're going to win it. And so Joshua is about to take on the promised land. But he had to consecrate and set apart the people of Israel and say, you need to serve God with your whole heart. So he circumcised all those that were never circumcised while they were in the wilderness. And so then they get to this town called Jericho. Verse 13, bear with me as I read. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he's right on the outskirts of Jericho, that he lifts up his eyes and he looks and he beholds a man was standing in opposition of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Man, I'm telling you, this probably wasn't just any old man. This man probably was extraordinary in some fashion. Maybe he was a little taller. Maybe he was just a little bit more muscular. I don't know. Maybe he looked like Brad Pitt and Bill Pevlor and stuff like that. I don't know. But, you know, there had to be something that just stood out about him other than just the sword and stuff like this. But Joshua went up to him and he said to him this, are you for me or are you against me? I love this. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? I would love, what an attitude. And this man says, nope. Rather, indeed, I come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Can you imagine for a minute meeting the one that's in charge of the armies of heaven? I would love to meet that person or angel. I would love to meet that angelic being. You know, one time when I was a kid, I used to love this. I've never seen an angel. I don't know if you've seen an angel. I remember one time my dad said, yeah, I was driving from such and such a place to such and such a place, and I looked over and there is an angel sitting in my car with me. And his feet went through the floorboard and his wings went through the seat, and it was this weird image that it was overwhelming. And I just knew I had peace and I had this sense of presence with God. And as a little kid, I would go to bed on most nights and go, please, God, please, 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 let me see an angel. Please, don't make it scary, but let me see an angel. I have not seen an angel yet. I have not seen an angel yet. I'm like the little prophet's helper going, please open my eyes. I want to see an army of angels surrounding me, please. So Joshua, having the privilege or the honor or whatever to see the captain of all the armies of heaven, I would love to have been there. And to have the guts to say, bring it on, buddy. I don't know. But he looks at him and he says, nope. I'm the captain of the armies of heaven. So Joshua falls on his face to the earth and he bows down and he says to him, what is my Lord to say to his servant? Wow. What does God have to say to me today? That's what was the most important thing that could have come out of his mouth. What do you have to say to me? I'm just consider me a part of your army. What do you have to say to me? And the captain of the Lord's host says to Joshua, I want you to take off your sandals because where you're standing is holy. That's powerful, isn't it? Joshua, what you're about to do is considered very holy. You need to be holy. You need to walk holy. You need to set yourself apart. You just consecrated all of the people of Israel, but now I want you to set your heart apart as God is your Lord and you're going to do everything that He tells you to do. Are you settled with that mindset this year? Come on, be honest with yourself. What would God say to you this year? You have no idea, but what if He says something to you and He challenges you to do something you've never done before? Is He still your Lord? If He tells you to jump, would you go, would you prove it? Here's a couple of fleeces. How about you just make it blah, 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 blah. And if you really convince me, maybe I'll do what you want me to do. That's not the attitude Joshua has. He has to have a heart that says, you are my Lord. Whatever you say, I will do. Whatever you tell me to go, I'm going to go there. However you want, I am going to do it. It's already settled. That's my heart. And so just consider me a part of your army, God. And so Joshua bows down, says that. And now he says, this is holy. And now I want you to do this. Jericho being tightly shut up because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Here's what the Lord told Joshua through this servant. See? What do you see in 2018? What did Joshua need to see? He needed to see that God had given him the city of Jericho. Think about this. The angel of the Lord said, here's the first word to you. See something. Joshua, this mighty city has been given to you. I like that. It's been given into your hand. along with its kings and every valiant warrior. And you're going to do something crazy that's never been done before. That's what he's saying. You're going to march around the city, all the men of the war circling the city once. And you're going to do this for 6 days with the priests. And they're going to carry trumpets, ram's horns, right before the ark. And on the seventh day, you're going to march around that city 7 times in 1 day. And the priests are going to blow the trumpet. And it's going to be that when they make that long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of that trumpet, every one of the people is going to shout with a great shout. And here's the crazy thing. The very walls of that city are going to fall down. It's never happened before. Never happened before. How would he have known it was going to happen? He's never seen it before. He's never seen it before. There's things in your life you have never seen happen yet. There's things in my life I've never seen happen yet. I long to see some things. When I was young, I felt visions and I saw things that God has pictured, put in pictures in my mind. I still haven't seen some of them come to pass. I don't know when they're going to come to pass. Maybe 2018 is the year that I'm going to see them come to pass. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, if God says it, I want to have the faith to embrace it and say, okay, if this is the year you say the city's yours or Jericho is yours, if this is the year he says you're going to shout and see walls fall down, then I want to have the faith that says, okay, I've never seen walls fall down because a bunch of people shout and march around in circles. But because you said it, I see it. What if we apply that to all the things in our life that we want to see miracles for? What about healings? What about breakthrough in your family? What about reconciliation? What about that relationship, that one stinking relationship that you feel will never be reconciled because it's just beyond reconciliation? That wall will never fall down. What if God said, this year that wall is falling down? And you have to have the faith, like Joshua, to say, all right, that's what I see in 2018. God's going to take that wall out of the way. I look at that and I think, man, Lord, I want that. I want that. Now, how does the story end? How many of you know how the story ends? Here's a great story. This is what we grew up in children's church hearing about. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, marched around the city, all that stuff. The walls come down. We did some drama when I was first starting out with theater and stuff. We did some fun drama stuff with the walls of Jericho and illustrated this in many different ways. You know what? I know this story. The walls did come tumbling down. And these weren't just average walls. These were big walls, weren't they? Walls big enough where two chariots could race side by side on the walls. That's a pretty big wall. These were walls that were big enough where there were houses that were built into the walls and on the walls so that you could live. Right on the wall. This is a big wall. And God said, just marching and shouting, those things are going to fall. I don't know if there was a great earthquake. I don't know if it was just some miracle. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But I can tell you this. If God tells me today that he wants to knock down some walls, I want to have the faith that says I can see those walls come tumbling down. So I'm going to end this service with this. There are a few things that I believe I see for 2018, and I want to cast a little bit of vision for you. I want to just cast a little bit of vision. I want to show you what I believe the Lord is revealing, at least to me. And what I would say in application to you is, I hope you see it too. It would be really sad if Joshua was the only person that heard that angel speak, and then he turned around and he told all of his army. He said, guys, we're going to march. Priests, we're going to march. Get the ram's horns. And they went, I just don't see it. Can you imagine just Joshua doing laps around Jericho? How boring that would be? I don't know if it would happen. I don't know. And, you know, for me, I look at us as a church and I think, you know, in 2018, the sky's the limit for what God wants to do. But the real question is, what do we see? What do you see? And so, my heart for us today is that we begin to have God pull back the curtain on some of what he wants to see done through you and I this year. As an individual, yes, but really as a church. This might apply to you personally. There's no doubt to that. But really, I believe that the Lord wants to do things through us. And if he wants to do things through us, what could some of that be? It's more than just getting a church started and meeting in this place and having wood decorations. It's more than that. It's more than just gathering on a Sunday. There is so much more that God wants to do. What could that be? One of the things that I'm reminded of is in the fall, we started small groups. This was something that I believe God revealed to us and confirmed it. And so we started small groups, and you know, we only have two small groups. Bill's leading one over at the Bukoritz's house, and Petrae and I host one at our house, and we have a small band of people that meet at each place. And we're a small church, so that's great. You know, and we've been meeting on Sunday nights, and at the end of January, we're going to launch them again. Now, here's the reason why I see them as important is because in our day and age, we can go to church, but we don't have relationship. And why is relationship important? Because there are many people that attend churches for years and years and years on end, and they're depressed and they're isolated and they don't have anybody to talk to, and their faith is suffering because they have no one to share that growth with. They have no small context in which to talk about things and to banter about subjects and to grow and process things together. It doesn't happen on Sundays. On Sundays, it's too easy to fake it, isn't it, Steve? He knows all about that. And I mean, it's just too easy to fake it. You don't know what my week's been. Why? Because I put on my pastor face on Sunday. I smile and I act all faith-filled and I preach up a storm and you get healed and delivered and fall down in the spirit and then go home and yell at your kids. No, I'm teasing it. But I mean, this is what we do. We put on the happy face for Sunday and then we live the rest of the week. You know what? Small groups are one of those ways where you and I can break past all of that. Say, you know what? Come into my house, see how my house is. See me on days where I'm happy. See me on days where I'm not so happy. See me on days where I'm filled with faith and filled with all kinds of excitement. See me on days where I just don't feel it. Why? Because everyone is like that, and you need that intimacy, and you need that strength. So what do I see for 2018? I see small groups. I see small groups becoming more and more important in your life because your faith is important to me. Your faith is important to your family and to the other people in your world. Church has got to be more than just Sunday. It really does. It has to be every day of the week for you. And so small groups is important. And all you need to do with that is if you're interested in small groups, maybe hosting a small group, or maybe just joining one of the small groups as we get them started at the end of January, then you need to stop at the hub and you need to ask some questions and then just talk about it. Debbie will make up all some kinds of great stuff and she'll tell you all kinds of stuff and then I'll have to figure out what I'm supposed to do with it. So talk to Debbie and it'll be great, okay? Talk about small groups. But here's something that I've been waiting to unveil for quite some time. You know, we're called Visible Church because I believe that your faith, if it's not illustrated, if it doesn't make a difference in your life, it's no faith at all. Your faith has to make a difference in your life. And we have a problem in America. We have a problem in Green Bay. We have a problem in churches. It's a problem that is kind of a silent killer. It's a problem that is affecting more people than you and I would ever want to acknowledge or really talk about. It's a problem that affects every single one of us. Here's the problem. Out of 16 people on a row in any church in America, so I don't know how many chairs we got there, 9, 10, we got 10 or so chairs there were there. And you got a church of 16 people in one row. Here's what is statistically true about that row of 16 people. Two of those people out of that row are struggling with gender identity crisis. They don't know if they're a boy or a girl, if they're homosexual. They don't know any of that stuff. They're really struggling in it. They have no idea and they have lots of questions and they don't have anybody to talk to necessarily, and the world is definitely talking to them, but they're struggling with it. That's right in the church. Two out of the 16 are struggling with that. What else? Four people out of that 16 have been victimized sexually in some way. Maybe as a child, maybe as a person that's grown up, they've had some problem in their life and they've experienced that and it's really caused a fracture in their heart and their mind and their soul and they've struggled with that. And they're recovering maybe, or they're just dealing with the pain in some way, but they have really been impacted by sexual abuse in some form or another. And then four more people in that row of 16. Four more people in that row of 16 are struggling with immorality in a myriad of different ways, from secret sins or addictive behavior that's destroying them, or adultery or some other form of fornication. And when I look at this, it's not just true about that front row. That same truth is for every single row in the churches in America. That translates to over 60% of every person that is faithfully attending a church in America right now. That includes you and I as an evangelical church, somebody that really believes the Bible. Over 60% of those that attend that church have been impacted severely on any one of these fronts. So everything is out on the table then as something that is a real issue. It is the most silent and yet most devastating thing that's going on in the churches of America. And I look at it and I think I've just become sick of it. I'm so sick and tired of cheating husbands and cheating spouses, and I'm so sick and tired of secret sins that are destroying the young men and the young ladies of America. I'm so sick and tired of the slavery. I'm so sick and tired of all the junk that confuses our young people and our old folks. And I look at it and I think, my faith has to be visible. I'm tired of it. In our culture, we've had ministers that have struggled with it. This is the silly thing. And the Moody Bible Institute did a survey. They asked a hotel right at the end of one of their pastoral conferences, they asked their hotel how many of the rooms with our participants accessed pornographic material while in the hotel. It was over 75%. 75%. And I look at that and I think, this is horrible stuff. And why is this important to me? Well, because I know that it's destroying families. Now, you may be the perfect picture of perfection. You might not struggle with it. You know what? I have four very, very innocent daughters and an incredibly innocent wife. And I look at them and I think, we are not struggling with a lot of those things. But you know what? We are impacted by it because I have daughters that are in public school and they're being shoved down all this rhetoric about homosexuality. They need to know how to answer it. They need to know how to think. And the media in our culture, do you know, Petrea and I, we went and took our family to go see a fun movie together. It was The Greatest Showman or whatever. And in that, we see all kinds of crazy stuff. But here's what grieved both of our hearts. One of the trailers was all about a young man who was gender confused and had to struggle with coming out. And so I had to sit in the same seats next to my kids as in a trailer. I'm watching two boys on a movie screen just about to kiss. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I'm about to start a ministry. And we need this, church. We need this because here's the kicker. Do you know if you need this or not? Let me ask you something. If someone is struggling with something, a friend at work or somebody you know, they just found out their spouse just cheated on them, or a friend that has kids just comes to you and says, hey, my kid just told me that he thinks he's gay, or some other problem, you find out someone in church has been abused, or there's child abuse, or there's trafficking, you just become aware of it. Let me ask you this very important question. What do you say to them? How can you help them? I want you to think about this. If it was only you, do you feel personally equipped right now at this moment? What would you say to them? How would you help that spouse? How would you help that mom and dad? What would you say to the young person who feels gender confused? Do you know what you would say? Is there a place you can point them to? Is there a ministry that you can direct them to? Is there some place that will offer them freedom, help, or any information at all? Or are you like the proverbial ostrich? And just sticking your head in the sand and say, you know what, I call Pastor Ben. See, the reality is people who are struggling with these most important issues and it's destroying their lives, they don't come to Pastor Ben. They come to you. They come to you. And you have to be the church. And you have to be prepared. You have to be bold enough to talk about the things that nobody wants to talk about. You have to be ready for that. So what do I see in 2018? I see a church where every individual member takes their role seriously. You are the one that God wants to use to speak hope and freedom to a young person that's confused. You're the one that God wants to use to provide money and finances so that we can offer ministry to people who are really in need of help. And you know what? We have a great opportunity because nobody in our area is taking this as serious. We have people that are doing things, that's true. And I'm not poo-pooing any ministry in the area that is standing up for this whole big topic of ministries, because there is great ministry already happening in the area of trafficking and taking people out of things and helping them. But I'll tell you this, there is not a ministry that is specifically addressing the immorality that's in our area. There's not. How do I know this? Because when I was on the phone with some big churches and some ministries, they basically said, "You're going to do this? Well, that's great. Tell me how it goes, because I want to send some people to your church. We don't have that." And I'm thinking, you're a big church. I'm a small nobody church. Why isn't a church doing anything? And then I'm going, oh, wait a minute. I'm the church. I need to do something about this. I need to do something about this. And so how are we going to do this? Well, I see at the end of this month, we're going to bring in one of the keynote speakers from a ministry called Pure Desire Ministries. And he's going to come in and he's going to give us a PDU. That's a Pure Desire University. So on a Saturday, January 27th, and on Sunday the 28th, he's going to come in. And on Saturday, he's going to address all the men of the church and anybody else in the area that we can just rope into getting there. And then he's going to address the whole church as a body on that Sunday. And what we're going to do is we're going to take steps forward, Lord willing, and we're going to see a Pure Desire ministry start right here in Green Bay. There isn't one. Just the rumor of us potentially starting this, we have people calling as far away as Sturgeon Bay saying, I need help. I'm drowning in this or that. And I just heard that you guys are starting a group. What can we do? And I'm thinking, the need is that big? Oh, wow. What can we do? Are you ready? Are you equipped? I want to see some freedom and hope in 2018. Do you want to see that? Do you want to see that? I want to see that. And I want to see small groups, and I want to see that, and I want to see churches, and I want to see all kinds of stuff. I want to see the arts proclaiming the gospel message in 2018 unlike anything we've ever seen in Green Bay. I want to see that. And I want to see the lights turned off so the mood is changed. Thank you. That's awesome. You know, as smooth as we try to be, it's still awkward and funny, isn't it? I just love it. Oh, I just know that if the Lord is saying, Visible Church, Green Bay is yours, march around it, take it. Do you see that? I don't know what you're going to see this year, but I hope that you can see some of the things that I've shared already today. I hope your heart is stirred. And I hope you think about your own family and what do you want to see in your own family, because this next year, God is going to reveal things for you, and you're going to be able to take some steps of faith into some new areas, and you're going to see mountains fall and throw themselves into the sea. You're going to see some great things happen, but it all hinges on what you see, not what I see. What do you see? Would you stand with me in closing? This is New Year's Eve. Tonight, I hope that you see some peace. I hope that you see some rest. I hope that you see some friendly faces around your table. Hope you see some good food. But more than anything, I hope that you see what God wants to see in your life this year. Amen. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think for just a second. What is the Lord revealing to you? What would the Lord say to you if I had just you in the room and I said, sir, ma'am, friend, if I asked you, I said, what is it that God is saying to you today? What would your answer be? Would you know? What is God saying to you personally today? What is he telling you to do this year? What is he showing you in picture form or in your imagination? What is he challenging you to try? What is he asking you to obey in? What is he maybe scaring the snot out of you for? If you don't see something, if you don't know, then I pray what you remember out of this message today is this. Don't start the new year without seeking God's face for what he wants to see in 2018 in your life. Did you hear what I said? Don't start the new year without asking, knocking, seeking God, so that you can see what He wants you to see. Because without revelation, without God revealing, you're going to cast off restraint. You're going to try and live this next year without any leading voice. And you can't do 2018 without God. You got to do it with God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every single person in attendance today. I ask that Your blessing would be upon them, that You would just overwhelm them with Your presence. Lord, we are Your people, called by Your name, set apart for such a time as this. This is our time to be Your mouthpiece, to be Your hands and Your feet, to love people, to serve people, to just say yes and obey Your voice. And like Joshua today, I ask that every person that hears my voice, that every person would bow our hearts, bow our knees before You and say, tell me what it is that You see for 2018. And let me do all that You've commanded me to do. Lord, I pray right now for walls to fall down in every sense of it, in every figurative sense, in every even literal sense, Lord, that walls would fall down and that You would just break out in so many ways. In Your name I pray this. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys are going to be dismissed now. If you need any special prayer for anything at all, please don't hesitate to come down. We have people that are eager to pray for you. If you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, don't leave here. Come down here. Talk to Bill. Talk to me. We'd love to pray with you. We also have some prayer team members. I think you guys are on prayer team today. We got the badge, so you're ready. So we'll be ready to pray for you. All right, be blessed. You guys are dismissed.
Name, another same, Your gospel.